when you're not processing the grains and you're not doing a good job, and because of the turnover rates on those rations that are high on energy, are so high, the rumen has no time to digest that starch. So if you're not doing a good processing, it's highly probable that your starch and your energy is going to end on the manure of the animals.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast from North Carolina State University and our animal food manufacturing program here. I'm Adam Fahrenholz. On behalf of Wisenetics, thanks for joining us. And we appreciate all of our audience members watching on YouTube, listening on your podcast vehicle of choice. Please do like, please subscribe, and please give us feedback on these episodes and let us know what you like and what you'd like to hear more of. We are certainly here for you, and so we're interested in that kind of information coming back from the folks who listen and watch. My guest today is Juan Rojas. Juan is a consulting ruminant nutritionist with Beef Smart Consulting. So we're going to get to talk some about the grain processing for feedlot cattle day, which I'm excited about. We haven't gotten to do a lot of that just yet. So Juan, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's very good to be here.
Yeah, you bet. If you wouldn't mind, you further introduce yourself to our audience a little bit. Give us your background and how you came to be doing what you're doing today.
Perfect. No, that's awesome. I'm Juan Rojas. I'm an animal scientist. I have a master's degree in animal production, but it was related to animal nutrition in reality. I was a professional back in the 2014, and I started working in a feed mill, actually, in dairy cattle. I was in Colombia. I'm from Colombia, so I was working there. Lots of grazing facilities and, yeah, especially dairy cattle. But when I started doing my master's, I had to resign, quit my job. And I did my master's and I started working from a company that it's called Gowan Feed Consulting, which is a company who works with lots of species like monogastric and ruminants. I was the ruminant nutritionist there. And I was doing mostly dairy too. But since the year 2020, after COVID, we started to work more and more with beef cattle. So after a few years, the general manager of Gowan Feed Consulting, which is a company based in Canada, told me to come here, and here I am. Now I'm working for Beef Smart, which is part of Gowan Feed Consulting. It's the title of the company that works especially with beef cattle. So it's been 2 years now. Actually, I came here on the 23rd of May, so almost 2 years. Yeah, almost two now. And yeah, I'm doing beef nutrition since then. I'm working mainly on the feedlot operations, but I do some work too with cow-calf operations as well.
You already know that the key to a profitable operation is healthy, productive animals. This starts with the quality and safety of your production inputs. Our team of experts at Kemin are driven by curiosity to develop science-backed ingredients and solutions to help you maintain feed and water quality, improve intestinal health, optimize nutrition, and eliminate pathogens. Learn more today by diving in at kemin.com/AG.
As I said, we're going to talk a little bit about the processing that goes on at feedlots and for feedlot cattle, and in what ways I think it'd be interesting for the audience in what ways that's similar and in what ways that's different from what we see in the in kind of that commercial feed manufacturing type of an environment. So I guess let's start with the nutrition side. And when we're talking about feeding feedlot cattle, what are the main things that nutritionally we are concerned with in making sure that we're getting the production out of that system that we're after?
That's a very good question, because since, like I told you, I've been working here for about 2 years now, and I do mostly feedlot nutrition with backgrounders and finishing operations. And they always want to do something better, right? They always want to go further, increase the average daily gain, improve their feed efficiency. And they always are asking about what is the new additives or what can we do to improve our system. But sometimes they forget about this little thing about, you have to do properly the basics to have the best of what you're doing. So this is one of the most important things, because when you're talking about finishing cattle, especially in finishing cattle, like the grain, it could be up to 90% of the ration, dry matter basis. So if you're not doing a proper job there, you're not getting all the energy of those grains, and you will be wasting money, and you will not get the efficiency, and you will not get the average daily gain. So it is very important to look at the process when you have those grains in your rations.
So you just mentioned, 90% is probably going to be like processed grain is what we're going to see, especially in that feedlot type of situation. And, when we get into dairy, we see more TMR and forage, but in that feedlot operation, it's a lot of grain. So we're definitely going to spend a lot of time talking about that, but let's just real quick, what's the other 10%? The other 10% that they might be consuming is generally going to be what?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is like a general, it could change, right? But here in Alberta, Southern Alberta, where I am located, an unusual finishing ration could be 90% dry barley, dry rolled barley, 2% amino package, vitamins and micro minerals and some additives, and 8% would be silage or hay. So that's the 100% that you will have on a general average ration here in Southern Alberta.
Gotcha. One of the things I think, and we were talking a little bit offline before we started, that I think is really interesting about the, when we look at that feedlot, obviously we, in North America, between Canada and the US and even some getting down into Mexico, we feed a lot of cattle. We produce a lot of beef, right? And certainly South America does as well. Getting Australia does as well. So around the world, there's quite a bit produced, but we really like our beef here in North America quite a bit. And while there's a huge amount of consumption, when we think about the amount that would come from, a quote feed mill, like you said, it's maybe 2%, like 2% or so from most of that backgrounding and that feedlot cattle is maybe coming in the form of like trace mineral packs and things like that. And the abs, all the rest of it versus our other food animal species of chickens and turkeys and swine, where everything's coming from some sort of commercial compounded feed facility, the vast, vast majority of what we're seeing from the feedlot, it's getting produced and fed right there at where the animal lives, which is a very different model. So I think with that in mind, obviously, because it's all happening there, it's really important that they do it right. So what's the overall, if we had to just kind of describe the overall importance of that processing, and we'll get into also the different types of processing, I think, next, but just for now, what's the general importance of getting it right, which seems like it's rather self-explanatory in some ways because it's 90% of what they eat, right?
Yeah, you just said it. It is 90% of the ration. So if you do it properly, you will be using that 90% very well. If you don't, you will be wasting a lot of money on those animals. So what happens? The grains, like barley grain, wheat grain, corn grain, and even some backgrounders that are using oats, it's not that common, but they can. So those grains are fed because they have lots of energy, because they have a starch on them. So when you're not processing the grains and you're not doing a good job, and because of the turnover rates on those rations that are high on energy, are so high, the rumen has no time to digest that starch. So if you're not doing a good processing, it's highly probable that your starch and your energy is going to end on the manure of the animals. So that's why it's so important.
I think a line probably used in by every person teaching ruminant nutrition in any way, shape, or form anywhere is, in cattle we feed the rumen, right? As where in the other species, in the monogastric species, we're feeding the animal. But whenever we talk about cattle, we're feeding the rumen. The rumen is what matters. And in this case, if you over process or you under process, you either end up with some sort of wastage or you end up with some sort of rapid starch digestion that you didn't mean to have. And that's no good either, right?
That's correct. Yes. You can do both. You can do under process or over processed. And because we're talking about feedlot cattle and we're talking about finishing rations that are 90% grain, if you under processed, you are wasting a lot. But if you're over processed, you will have some health issues on the animal as well. So yeah, you have to be in a range, in a good range for that.
So when we talk about then processing, what are we talking about? What are the different types of processing that we might have? And I'm sure some of that's dependent on region and location and capability of feedlots. And I would imagine some of it's also going to be dependent on the type of grain source that we're using as well.
Yes, that's correct. So when we're talking about processing grains, we have like the option of doing nothing, like feeding the whole grain, which sometimes some farmers will do it. But in my experience, that's a lot of like, that's a waste of money. You will see a lot of grains in the manure. You will see that the average daily gain is not that good. You will see that the feed efficiency is high, so they need more dry matter intake to gain 1 pound of gain. So that's not ideal. So that's one way to do it. Don't do nothing and just feed it whole. But when we're talking about processing itself, we have four. The first one will be the grinding, which is like, yeah, grounded corn, grounded barley, grounded wheat, just with a, I don't know, hammer mill or something like that. And you can just feed it that way. You will have the dry rolling, which is just cracking the grains and having like small particles of those. You will have the high moisture grains, which are a very good option too. But for example, here in Canada, on the winter time, if you want to use like water, it's going to be an issue, because when you're minus 30 or minus 40, you will not have water. You will have ice. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. Yep. And you will have steam flaking too, which is a really good method for corn, for example, because as you said, not all the grains are the same. And in the case of corn, the grain has a protein matrix that it's not going to break and let to the microbes to digest that, unless you will increase the temperature, use water, and use the steam flake process to break that matrix and let them digest that. So steam flaking is a very good method for corn.
Yeah, and so we see, you know, obviously in the U.S. where we're going to be feeding primarily corn in that kind of southwestern United States, Kansas, Oklahoma, Panhandle, Texas, all that kind of area. We're seeing all that steam flaking of corn being done because that's our primary source. But as we get further north and we get into Canada, we start seeing more of the small grains and the winter growing grains of the barley and the winter wheats and things. The steam flaking, you can steam flake barley and you can steam flake wheat, but also the like you said, I think the starch is that much more digestible that we can also get away with doing just maybe some more rolling, some more cracking, some more grinding, which is far less energy intensive, and so it doesn't cost nearly as much. And so it sounds like what you're saying is a lot of those processing decisions absolutely do depend on what we're feeding. And if we're using this material over here and it's really accessible to the microbes in the rumen, we don't need to overprocess it. It's good. Why waste the money on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Actually, a year ago, we went to Texas to tour around some feedlots there and to see these steam flaking operations. And yes, that makes a lot of sense. When you're using corn, of course, it pays off, right? Because the steam flaking, it's going to let you get all the starch you have on that grain. On the other hand, when you go to southern Alberta, you will see lots of operations using barley. So yes, you can steam flake barley and you can get more than a whole barley. But compared to dry rolling, maybe you can improve it a little bit, but it's not going to be a huge improvement. So you will be, yeah, using more energy to get that steam flake barley, and you will not get the benefit of compared to corn. But if you are doing corn sometimes, like sometimes you're doing barley and corn. So if you are doing, I don't know, in a year you have one farmer can import corn from the States, for example. And if you are doing it like once per year or something like that, you can use the steam flaking for the corn because you have the corn. And then because the other time of the year you will have barley, you can use the steam flaking for the barley, and it's going to pay itself because you're using corn and barley. So that's a good thing to do if you have the corn. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So, you know, we're either going to be cold roll, you know, grinding, something like that, or maybe we're going to be steam flaking. Either way, we're going to be going after some sort of a quality. So on the steam flaking side, we're going to be looking at things like flake thickness and gelatinization and whatever else. And then on the others, we might be looking for more particle size. So could you describe a little bit maybe about what are those quality assessments like? How do we actually measure the quality to make sure that we are hitting the targets, whatever those targets are?
Yes, that's a really good question. I have here a really good base of clients, feedlots, and yeah, backgrounder feedlots, which they do a very good job doing the rations and weighting all the feeds that are going in. But sometimes you go there and you will see whole grains on the TMR and whole grains on the manure. So when I'm there, I usually say here it's usual to have the dry rolling as a processing of the grains. So here we will have the grain processing index in that scenario, because that's a good tool and it's an easy tool to measure the quality of the grain that is going to the TMR. So in that scenario, we want to take in a cup a volume of the dry rolled barley, weight it, and then in the same cup, same volume, the same cup, whole barley, and weight it. And the rolled barley should be around 65 to 70% of the weight of the whole barley. If you are over 70%, you are under processing that grain. If you are under 65%, you're probably over processing that barley. So here in southern Alberta, we used to do that with them. And you only need a scale and a cup. So it's an easy way to do it. And when they realize that it's that simple, they can use it like, well, let's do it once per week or something like that. Because sometimes you, as a farmer, you set the rollers and you forget about them all winter. And suddenly you will have a lightweight barley or heavy barley. And then that bushel weight, it's gonna influence the size of the grain. And depending on the size of the grain, your adjustment of the roles should be different. So if you don't do it, then you will be good for a part of the winter time, but then it would be under-processing or over-processing it. So it's something that you should keep track every single, I don't know, sometimes we do it weekly, but at least once per month would be ideal, I guess.
Okay. And then I know on like the steam flaking side, we see some of the same things where we're, again, looking at that same kind of the density.
Density, yes. Yeah, that's right. For the steam flake, it is really important to look at the density of the flake, the thickness of the flake. And you can, the density is easy to do it because, again, it's like a volume. You can weigh them and you can have that number. The thickness, it's a little different because, yeah, you need more specialized tools to do that. But the density is really simple to do it. So that's a good way. And we have some steam flaking operations here. And sometimes we do that and we realize that we are not getting the most of that process because, yeah, the density is not what we want to see.
Yeah. And when, you know, obviously on like something like a steam flaking, we can flake something down to paper thin and we can just barely crimp it. And on the rolling or the grinding, we took that grain and cracked it into two pieces all the way down to taking it down to powder. And then all of that has a huge impact on how the animal, and in this case, how the rumen obviously ends up working. I think one of the other things that I've always found really interesting, especially on the feedlot side, is especially in comparison to the monogastrics that we're feeding in like housing systems and whatnot, how we might actually make some of the changes to some of that depending on things like environmental conditions. And it might be, well, we're going to feed them this way and we're going to process this way right now, but we know it's about to get really cold or there's a large storm coming in and we're actually going to process now a little differently because the animal is going to consume differently. We may actually want them to actually generate some of their own heat and that sort of thing. And so that feeding dependent on environmental conditions is something I've always found really interestingly different about the feedlot, especially that feedlot nutrition.
That's really interesting. And that's right, because like here in Southern Alberta, we have open pens. Like they are like, yeah, we can have a snow storm over the winter time. And obviously the intake patterns, the consumption patterns of the cattle will change. And yes, you can, you have to consider that when you're processing, because even if you're processing in a good way, you can have some acidosis because the animals were not eating at some point because of this snowstorm. And then they are eating that much. And then, yeah, you have to adjust. What are you doing? So yeah, that's something that you should consider. That's for sure.
Yeah. I also thought that's pretty interesting. Just really quickly, cause I also think this is somewhat interesting from someone who generally works mostly with like poultry and swine. Obviously one of the things that you're interested in is the performance of the animal on average daily gain and feed consumption and things like that. But these are really large animals. What's that actually look like as far as with the feedlots and saying, okay, we're trying to collect data on how they're gaining and things like that. How do, for those that may not know, how do feedlots actually get that information from what are at the end of a process going to be some really large steers?
Well, I love working with feedlots compared to cow-calf because you have data. And our data is so different on the monogastric side. Yes, it's going to be totally different. But I think there are a couple things that are really good to have an idea of how the animals are performing. So one of the things are like look at the processing of the grains, like doing the processing index or doing the density of the grains and look at these little things that will help you to understand if you're doing it good or not. Then if you go to the pen, and this is something that no one like of the when I first arrived here, I will say that 80% of my clients didn't know this. And it's like take a manure sample and send it to the lab for fecal starch. So you will see if those animals are getting the starch of the grain of it, or is that, or it, yeah, that starch is going through the digestive system of the animal. So that's something that is really important. And then you can always do catch weights. So you weigh the animals and you will see how they are performed. And yeah, having those little those softwares will help you out too. Like based on the intakes that are getting and based on the rations and based on the energy, they will estimate the gains and the feed efficiency of those animals. But yeah, that's an estimation, but I found that it's quite good with those softwares.
Very good. So let's finish this off with just maybe a few examples of what happens when this goes wrong. What happens when we don't process correctly? What happens when our quality isn't where it's supposed to be? What are some of the things that the producers are going to see in those situations?
Absolutely. And those are the numbers that you are not aware of until you see it. And it's very good because, like, for example, I have a couple of clients here that have a really bad processing index. They were above 80%. And when you were going to see the gains, they were like 3.2, 3.5 pounds per head per day. And then after adjusting and having a processing index 65 to 70% almost all the time, they will have the 4 pounds per head per day. So you're losing that's 0.5 pounds just because you're not processing well the grains. And you can see it because I was tracking the fecal starch in those farms. And at the beginning, we were around 70 to 23% of a starch. And after doing all the following up, we were between 3 to 5% of fecal starch. So that's where you can see that it was an improvement. So from 20 to 5%, that's a huge difference. And I have another example.
Okay, yeah, please.
I was just thinking about, we have a feedlot in Colombia too, and we were feeding corn. We only have the opportunity to hammer mill the corn there. At some point, that hammer mill broke. And we were like about a month feeding whole corn, and our gains were down to from 1.4 kilograms. We talk about kilograms in there, up from 1.4 kilograms to 900 grams, 0.9 kilograms. So that's a huge impact.
Really interesting. I think it's really interesting stuff, and I hope that our audience, you know, a lot of folks are, you know, in that that feed milling kind of a space, or you know, allied industry additives and all that. And I don't think there's a lot of people that get to experience or get to learn a lot about like what goes on in that feedlot type of a space, even though there's so much of it and we're feeding so many grains and things there. Unless you're directly involved with it, it's something that a lot of people don't get, like I said, a lot of experience with. So I really appreciate the conversation. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's very good, and it's like I told you at the beginning. Like sometimes farmers are, I want to try this additive, or I want to try to make a very good balance on the amino acids or whatever it is, but they forgot about these basic things that you're feeding on the finishing ration. You're feeding 90% of grains. Do it properly, and you will see that your performance is going to be good.
All right. My guest today, again, has been Juan Rojas. Juan is a consulting ruminant nutritionist with Beef Smart Consulting. Juan, thank you very much for your time. It's been, like I said, it's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate all the insights.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to talk about these topics.
Again, my name is Adam Fairnolds, and on behalf of Wisenetics, on behalf of the Feed Science Podcast, thank you very much for listening. Thanks for watching. We appreciate all the attention from our audience, and we will talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.